Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim Garrity of National Review is back today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives. All of it brought to you by Quip Electric Toothbrushes. Right now, you can go to getquip.com/martini and not only order your new Quip Electric Toothbrush at a very good price, but also get your first refill pack free. Much more on Quip a little bit later in the podcast. Jim, let's start with our good martini. And one of the things that conservatives have been worried about, and rightly so, is the price tag on any congressional infrastructure bill. Well, the good news, at least at the moment, is that the president is not looking at federal taxpayers to foot the entire bill here. NBC News, the White House will release the principles of President Donald Trump's long-touted $1.5 trillion infrastructure proposal on Monday, a plan that leans on state and private investment as key driving factors in financing the effort. The administration's proposal is expected to seek $200 billion in new federal funds, according to a senior administration official who briefed reporters over the weekend on the condition of anonymity. That includes $100 billion on incentives to match state, local, and private investment spending on infrastructure projects, and $20 billion for expanding federal loan programs that focus on various kinds of infrastructure such as rail, water, and transportation. The plan would also allocate $50 billion for rural infrastructure projects to be distributed as block grants to the states, and another $20 billion for transformative programs that have an eye toward next-century-type infrastructure projects. Finally, the administration is asking that Congress spend $10 billion on a capital financing fund. So, Jim, no matter how you swing this, it's not going to be cheap for taxpayers on any level, federal or state. But if this is going to get done, and there are certain projects that need to get done, having a more nuanced approach to this is definitely a good move.
It is, Greg, and it's worth noting, look, it's not that conservatives hate all infrastructure projects, although I think probably a lot of us have a good memory going back to all this ancient history of 2009, when the Obama administration and a Democratic-controlled Congress passed the stimulus and cited our crumbling roads and bridges. And I periodically would go back and check and see how often, you know, after having voted for $700 billion in stimulus funding, those same politicians would come back and say, we need more money to take care of America's, you know, crumbling roads and bridges. I thought that's what the $700 billion was there to fix. And this kind of perception that no matter how much money gets spent on infrastructure, within a year or two, Democratic policymakers and even some Republicans will come out and say, hey, we need to spend more on this. It is good to see the administration not saying, hey, let's, you know, put a giant, you know, a big number in front of a billion, and let's call for a federal infrastructure spending bill. I also think it's kind of impressive because this is, you know, a moment when the Trump administration could probably use a bipartisan victory. And this is one area where Trump, you know, Trump wants a big infrastructure bill, and generally Democrats want a big infrastructure bill. So I give the president credit for resisting that temptation. It is worth noting, however, that one of the reasons these big infrastructure bills tend to not work is that if you look at what Americans actually need, generally they need repairs. Generally they need to take care of the existing infrastructure, but you don't get a lot of glamour or praise or get to name stuff when you just fix the old stuff. American, you know, obviously policymakers have a big preference for building new elaborate things, new interchanges, new light rail programs, new this, you know. And that's how the money gets built on, you know, white elephants and all these other projects that are always sound good, always look good, but end up not being nearly as used as they would like and not nearly mitigating the traffic that everyone is hoping to see in these sorts of infrastructure projects. So it's early in the process. There's a part of me that would not be surprised if this bill did not come to fruition at all. But so far, it looks like the administration has one that Republicans can applaud or at the very least tolerate and not feel like it's heading in a terrible big spending direction.
Yeah, let's hope it's responsibly financed and that the money is spent in effective ways, like you were saying. I mean, Jim, you and I both live in Northern Virginia, which is one of the worst traffic areas in the country. And every time state officials or local officials say, we're going to spend all this new money to ease congestion, what's your reaction? Because mine's usually like, uh-huh, right.
So I remember Terry McAuliffe running on it. I remember Bob McDonnell running on it. I remember Mark Warner running on this. I remember Jim Gilmore running on this. This has been a perennial pledge of gubernatorial candidates in Virginia. Somehow it never gets fixed, and it's deeply frustrating and stressful. And also, I don't, you know, obviously there are certain limitations about when you can widen roads and things like that. But Most people's commutes seem to be getting harder, not easier, despite all the money that gets spent.
Exactly right. And it'll be interesting to see if the Democrats get tangled in knots on this one like they did on Trump's immigration proposal. We still don't know how that one's going to go out, but I think he shocked them on immigration. And on this one, we'll see if they end up being opposed to it because they don't like how he's financing it as opposed to just actually getting something done. But we'll see. Speaking of President Trump, let's talk about the Olympics here. And Jim, this is a story that has just boiled and boiled as I've seen these different headlines come out over the weekend. It's just completely frustrating and nauseating, yet on some level, not all that surprising. That just the Western media hates Trump so much that they're willing to make glamorous stars out of brutal communist repressive regimes. And that's the situation going on with how the media is treating North Korea so far at the Olympics. We're only in the first few days here, but it's already absolutely effusive. CNN headline, Kim Jong-un's sister is stealing the show at the Winter Olympics. New York Times, Kim Jong-un's sister turns on the charm, taking Pence's spotlight. And how is she turning on the charm? Another New York Times story. Without a word, only flashing smiles, Kim Jong-un's sister outflanked Vice President Mike Pence in diplomacy. Philip Bump over at the Washington Post also tweeted that during the opening ceremonies, she gave a little side eye to Vice President Pence. So a big-time diplomatic burn there. Reuters, Kim Yo Jong, that's her name, the Ivanka Trump of North Korea enthralls people in the South, which is the first time the Western media has pretty much said anything positive about Ivanka Trump and only relates to a communist. Also, Reuters, North Korea judged winner of diplomatic gold at Olympics. And finally, ABC, North Korea's 200-plus cheerleaders steal spotlight at 2018 Winter Olympics with matching outfits and synchronized chants. Isn't it wonderful that these people, completely indoctrinated by a repressive regime, are looking so happy? Jim, we know these people don't like Trump, but do we have to absolutely idolize the worst regime in the world, or at least one of them, to try and make Trump look bad?
Longest item in today's Morning Jolt was the observation that the good chunk of the American mainstream media now operates under the assumption that whoever is sparring with the Trump administration is the good guy. They will give more sympathetic coverage to whoever is on the other side of Trump and his administration, no matter who is the past history or the actual identity of who that is. Now, the only thing I'd have a couple of things I want to note in here, Greg, one is that if I had to say to you which publication or media source would be most likely to take the, yes, look at that wicked side eye, you go, Slay Queen, snarky millennial, barely English tone, which publication would you have guessed, Greg?
BuzzFeed.
Right. BuzzFeed, right? They're the cat videos and all kinds of, we can't stand those guys. And BuzzFeed did this terrific piece that was basically, stop praising this woman. She's a member of the North Korean Politburo. She is completely part of the regime. And her, you know, when you say Slay Queen, no, really, they kill people, right? They have executions in stadiums and force all the citizens to watch. They have no, there are no human rights in North Korea. They're unbelievably brutal. They just, beat the heck out of Otto Warmbier and sent him back right before he died. Like, so first of all, my hat is off to you, BuzzFeed. Talk about playing against being typecast or something like that. I salute you. That was a pleasant surprise in all this stuff. Now, here's the thing. If it had just been some idiot headline writers or some schmucks on social media, okay, fine, no problem. You know, we've almost gotten used to that. But this is pretty much every publication has written some variation of this story. And it generally is, oh, isn't it wonderful? Kim Jong-un's sister did not murder anyone during any of her meetings with South Korea. It really is the lowest imaginable bar and kind of this deeply frustrating sense that, you know, I mean, on the one hand, you can find, you know, experts in the South Korean government and some folks in the South Korean public who are being charmed by this, I guess you could say. I put this akin to maybe almost Stockholm syndrome. If you live next door to a psychopath and they're not attacking you one day, not threatening you, and in fact smiling, maybe you're happy to see that. But all in all, I mean, most of this is like, oh my goodness, isn't this an amazing propaganda? Oh my goodness, diplomatic outreach. And the other thing that just has me baffled, Greg, is this relentless praise and obsession with the North Korean cheerleaders. I have to give credit where it is due to USA Today, which reminded us that back in 2006, North Korean cheerleaders went to South Korea for an event, then went back and talked about it, and 26 of them got sent to a prison camp. This is not a happy story. These are basically slaves. If they screw up during the cheer, their families will probably disappear. Okay, like, so it's just this like willful ignorance or willful aversion of the actual facts of what's going on here. That's just abominable. And there are times where criticism of the mainstream media can get a little overwrought and get a little unfair. But in this case, the media is earning all of this contempt from right of center folks who understand what the North Korean regime is, what it stands for, and are not so easily charmed as with just a smile or something like that. Even if that smile has lovely teeth, Greg. When I refer to teeth, you have a good sense of what's coming. We're going to talk about Quip toothbrushes. I have one myself. I use it after every meal, and I am absolutely thrilled and pleased with it. It is fantastic. Brushing your teeth is one of the most important parts of the day. Quip knows that, which is why they've combined dentistry and design to make a better electric toothbrush. Quip is the new electric toothbrush that packs just the right amount of vibrations into a slimmer design at a fraction of the cost of the bulkier traditional electric toothbrushes. The guiding pulses alert you when to switch sides, making brushing the right amount absolutely effortless.
Quip also comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel anywhere. Whether it's going in your gym bag or carry-on, it'll still be safe because it's got that cover for the toothbrush, like Jim has mentioned before. And because the thing that cleans your mouth should also be clean, Quip's subscription plan refreshes your brush on a dentist-recommended schedule, delivering new brush heads every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. Quip is backed by a network of over 10,000 dental professionals, including dentists, hygienists, and dental students. Most toothbrushes don't get named one of Time Magazine's best inventions of the year, but Quip did. Find out for yourself why. Quip starts at just $25, just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/martini right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/martini, spelled getquip.com/martini. All right, Jim, let's move on to our crazy martini now. And it kind of jumps off a little bit of our last martini of how the media is absolutely enamored by anyone who is anti-Trump, even if it is a repressive communist regime in North Korea. Bob Corker is not part of a communist repressive regime in North Korea. He's far better than that. But he's not our favorite senator, and he's also announced he's not running for another term. But now, as we're already into the 2018 cycle, there's reports out there that Bob Corker is actually reconsidering this. Here is how CNN reported on the story recently. Here's John King.
CNN is told that in recent days, Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee has floated the idea of changing his mind and running for re-election this year. Now, sources tell us fellow Tennessean Lamar Alexander and South Carolina's Lindsey Graham are among those who've discussed the idea with Senator Corker. But, this is a big but, when the idea was broached to the majority leader, Mitch McConnell, his response, we are told, is it's a non-starter unless Senator Corker can get President Trump on board. You might recall last year, Corker questioned the president's competence, and in return, he earned the Twitter nickname, Little Bob. They are back on speaking terms, the senator and the president, now, but one source familiar with the conversations in recent days says the president, quote, will have no part of it.
Jim, just to give you an idea of how much of a reach this may very well be, here's how CNN phrased it. Corker's mulling over if he should reconsider leaving Congress. So he's having trouble deciding whether he's going to reconsider as opposed to maybe just reconsidering. But in case you're wondering whether there's any actual momentum to this, here is a report from the Chattanooga newspaper. A senior advisor to Republican U.S. Senator Bob Corker acknowledged Sunday some Tennesseans and Senate colleagues are asking him to reconsider his decision to retire, but said, quote, at this point, nothing has changed. So, Jim, we know how much the media now loves Jeff Flake. We know how much they're excited about Mitt Romney might be running for the Senate, not because they love Mitt Romney, but because Mitt Romney's been critical of Trump. So the media is all excited now that there's at least a rumor floating around Capitol Hill that Bob Corker might be thinking about getting back in this race, even though his office is adding nothing to this fire.
You know, Greg, my first problem with this is I think it is absolutely egregious for Senator Bob Corker to back out of his commitment to be the next head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Oh, no, sorry, that was Josh McDaniel. My other thought was that, oh, we've got Senator Brett Favre here, right? I'm retiring. Oh, wait, never mind. I'm not retiring. I want to do this some more. Oh, wait, nobody wants me back. Oh, just, you know. Sadly, he can't get traded to the Jets. Appropriate punishment there. Look, you know, I as you're describing that article there, Greg, it sounds almost like Inception, like five levels of reconsider. He's considering whether you should reconsider his possibility of considering the reconsideration of the consideration of his retirement. You know, make up your mind. You know what, or get off the pot, man. I mean, you know, my guess is that, look, when a guy announces he's retiring, you know, unless he's Brett Favre, take him at his word.
I think the daily frustration of dealing with Trump and his erraticness wore Corker down. He made his comments about the White House that needs a babysitter and things like that. The relationship with Trump was soured. Look, Corker certainly seems like he's ready and happy to depart the stage. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't. I believe it was Marsha Blackburn is thinking about running for the U.S. Senate. I don't think you should do these sorts of things where you suddenly reverse, you know, the position you've made on a whim and stuff like that. And from the degrees of qualification in this story, it doesn't sound like it's very serious. Kind of interesting, get some clickbaits, but my guess is in a week or two we'll have all forgotten about this, Greg, and perhaps that's for the best.
Why didn't Bob Corker reconsider the Iran vote approach? That would have been a much better recalculation.
Yeah, completely agree. That there were reasons conservatives were growing increasingly irked with Bob Corker towards the end of his term. And so I don't think the idea that, you know, like, it's when I hear the news, like Jeff Flake is thinking about running for president. Look, if you're not going to win re-election in Arizona, you're not going to win the presidency. Now, if he decides to run as an independent and somehow split things, we'll see how that that would shake things out. But again, I think once you've decided you're ready to leave the stage, you should, you know, Greg, leave the stage. If everyone's standing and applauding and saying how great it is, and, you know, maybe that's a sign they're ready for you to leave, Senator.
Sometimes it's hard for the politicians to do that. Jim, great to have you back. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget to get your brand new electric toothbrush and your first refill pack free. Getquip.com/martini. And tune in again Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.